Amen. You are welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning with us. I know that it was kind of rainy this morning, so thank you for pursuing God and coming in this morning, because, you know, you could be doing so many other things, even watching from home, which is good. And thank you guys who are watching from home as well. But there's nothing like being in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Turn me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 is where we'll be at this morning. Amen. Once again, it is good to be up here. It is good to see you guys and to just be in the company of like-minded people who are pursuing God. So last week, raise your hand if you were here last week during the 11 o'clock message. And Pastor Lincoln, he talked about the pursuit of knowing God. And that was a very good message. So hopefully you didn't just hear the message and go home and kind of just keep living your life, right? You actually heard the message, left here, and pursued God. And Pastor mentioned a couple things last week. And one of the things that he said was that the pursuit of knowing God is more than just reading your Bible and coming to church. The pursuit of God is about experiencing God. It's about walking with God. It's about knowing God. Now, we hear pursue God, and we think, all right, let me make this list of things that I need to start doing to chase after God. We hear, oh, God wants to spend more time with me. And we think, well, okay, you know what? Let me try harder. Let me make this long list of all these things, and then my pursuit will start. But the truth is this, as Pastor said, unless God reveals himself, we cannot pursue him. We cannot see him. We cannot know him. So pursuing God starts by grace. It starts by revelation. It starts by God first saying, here I am. Now, in Exodus 3, verse 1, this is a story of the call of Moses. And verse 1 reads this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Verse 3, then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Verse 4, When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Amen. Heavenly Father, once again, we just commit this service into your hands. We ask that your spirit take over, Lord. We ask that you minister to your people. We ask that you just give me clarity of sound, Lord. Help me speak what you have given me, Father. And just guide your people into all truth. Amen and amen. So we see here that in verse 1, it says that Moses was tending to his flock. Moses was going about his day-to-day life like we all do. And then verse 2 says this, that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the middle of his day-to-day routine. See, Moses wasn't praying and fasting. Moses wasn't doing all the spiritual things that we need to do, that we should do. But we see here that in the middle of his day-to-day life, the angel of the Lord appeared to him. That is a picture of grace. See, we think that we need to start doing all these things to pursue God. But the truth is that even in our day-to-day life, God is pursuing us, because we love him because he first loved us. We can't chase after him first because he's already chased after us. See, in Genesis 3, when man fell, man was hiding. God came pursuing. God came saying, Adam, where are you? So God has always pursued first. We simply respond to that. We respond to his grace. So Moses wasn't praying, wasn't fasting, wasn't at church. He was simply alone at work. And his experience with God began by grace. His experience with God wasn't something that he did, but God first took that first step and came to him while he was working on the mountain. Now, oftentimes we think that our pursuing God begins by our own effort. So in this stage of Moses' life, Moses is 80 here, but 40 years ago, Acts chapter 7 says this. Acts 7, verse 22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. Verse 25, for he supposed that his brothers would understand that God would deliver them by his hands, but they did not understand. So Moses, at the age of 40, thought that, you know what? I'm mighty in word. I'm mighty in deed. I have all these things going for me. Surely my brothers would see that God is with me. Surely they would see that, no, I'm pursuing God and God is going to back me up. But we see here that Moses simply saw somebody suffering and was moved by what he saw, but he did not see God. See, sometimes we start a journey that God never sent us on. Moses saw something that was wrong and thought, surely this is what God wants me to do. But that was 40 years ago, and he was moving by his own flesh, by his own strength. He was moving by his own power, trying to do what he thought that God had called him to do. Because we often think that God will move when we're ready. See, we think that, oh, you know what? For me to pursue God, I need to go to Bible school and become a theologian and do all these things and get ready. And then surely God will be like, yes, my son is ready now. He actually wants to actually serve me. But we see here that Moses was actually stripped down. Moses fell from being, third or second in charge in Egypt, all the way to being a shepherd. After 40 years, at the age of 80, he finally got along with God. See, pursuit starts with when we get along with God. Yes, it's good to come to church. Yes, it's good to, you know, sit under God's word. But true pursuit of knowing God starts when we get along with God. Just us and him. And we simply say, God, whatever you say, that's what goes. So Moses got alone. No cell phone, no job, no TV, no nothing. He got alone. And when he got alone, it says, he saw the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, we might not see a physical burning bush, but God is still reaching out to get your attention this very day. Now, a burning bush can be many things. Who here has ever just woke up with a song from the Lord on your heart? Who here has ever read a scripture that just jumped out at you? So a burning bush is something that God is trying to use to get your attention. And a true minister of God is also like a burning bush. Because last week, as Pastor spoke, I was like, all right, he's kind of preaching my message and God has given him this. And I'm like, okay, well, God gave me this, so it just all makes sense. But a true minister of God is like a burning bush, because in Genesis 3, when man fell and man was cursed, God said that man would produce thorns. In Exodus 3, we see here that there is fire in the thorn bush. So we see here that just like that, that's what God wants to do with man. God wants to put his Holy Spirit, his fire on fallen man and make them something that they are not. So Moses, he finally gets alone, and he sees a bush that is burning, but it is not being consumed. And then verse 3 says this. Now Moses responds. As Pastor said last week, true pursuit looks something like this. I do something, God does something, then I say, why did God do that? I have to think through and say, okay, why exactly is God saying this to me? What exactly does this mean? Because sometimes we can be passive with our faith. God can be trying to move on our hearts and we're not really diligent. We're not really paying attention to what he's trying to say. So Moses sees a burning bush. Now, most of us would have saw that bush and ran, or would have saw that bush and probably go home and, you know, tell our friends, hey, man, I saw something crazy out there, you know, a burning bush. But Moses says this, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Moses did not say, well, maybe later I'll do it. Maybe if I have time, after I finish my work with, you know, the sheep. No, he said, I will turn now. He said, I must. He gave what he saw his full attention. He didn't wait until later. Once again, like I said at the start of this sermon, last week, Pastor preached the pursuit of knowing God. Did you go away actually pursuing God? Or did you just hear a good message and say, well, you know, that's a good message. I get what he's trying to say. But no, Moses saw a burning bush and said, I must know why this bush does not burn. Because pursuit is not about knowing it all. See, sometimes we think that, okay, I need to know everything and then I can actually go after God the right way. No, pursuit is about urgency. It's about responding to the grace of God. It's about seeing something in God's word and saying, God, why did you say like this and not like this? See, I've learned that God doesn't speak much, but he answers questions. So you need to seek things out. God, why are you saying this? Why did you do this? Why is this happening in my family? Why are these things like this? And as you seek, as you inquire, as you ask, as you seek, as you knock, that door will be open for you. So pursuit is not about knowing at all. It's about responding to the grace of God. Now, what does grace look like? Grace looks like you work from home and you can pray out loud. Do you take advantage of that, or do you just be like, yeah, you know, I work from home, so I'll just do what I want to do? Grace looks like you have a flexible schedule, and you can bake into that schedule 1 hour of prayer every day. Have you responded to his grace? Grace looks like you don't have kids, or your kids are grown, and you have the freedom to truly kind of do what God wants you to do. Have you used that grace that God has given you to press into him? Or have you simply just said, oh, I see God's grace. You know, God, thank you for that, but I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So Moses responded, as we all should. He responded as we all should. And verse 4 says, and when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, then God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. See, many times we are waiting for God to move first, but God has already moved first. God has already sent his son. God has already given you a Bible. God has already placed you in a church. Now it's your move. Now it's your time to actually turn and look at that bush and say, God, why is this? What is this? Because the scripture says that when the Lord saw that he had turned aside, That is when God spoke to him. See, because it, like, yes, the angel showed up, which is a picture of grace, but Moses had to respond to grace. It wasn't until Moses made that choice to turn and look at the actual bush that God spoke. Because God is looking for people that he can interrupt. God is looking for people that will blow up their whole schedule just for him. God is looking for people that will say, yes, Lord, I feel this thing on my heart. I will move how you want me to move. Not my will, but your will. And this thing is, it's easy to preach. It's easy to say. It's easy to see Jesus say it, but to actually do it, to actually be that sensitive, to say, not my will, but your will, to actually be that sensitive, to say that, God, I am not satisfied with the surface. I want to have a deeper look. That's the mindset that we ought to have when we are truly trying to pursue knowing God more. Because the thing is this, that we all pursue something, whether it's marriage, kids, our job, friendships, sports. Everyone has something in here that they want just a little bit more of. Every single person. So pursuit is something that we're born with. No one has to teach you to actually go after, you know, what you want. We all have that in us. But the truth is that which way are we looking? Because if I'm trying to race over here, I can't be moving like this, right? I have to look at where I'm going. So Moses physically had to turn. And sometimes we're saying the right words with our mouth, but we haven't turned yet. Moses has to actually turn, then say the right words. We can't be giving God lip service and saying, God, I want you, God, I want you. But I'm looking at the world still. I'm looking at friends still. I'm looking at all the things that I want still. Moses physically had to turn and also had to say the right thing, because God is looking for people that are in alignment, people that are saying the right thing and turn the right way. And once again, this is not saying that it's about what you can do, but it's a response to God's grace. Because Moses did nothing to earn that angel showing up, just like we did nothing to earn Christ. And yet he showed up, and yet he gave his life, and yet he said, come all who are thirsty and drink of me. So just like that angel showed up by grace, Christ has showed up by grace. And our job is to look away onto Christ and keep on looking away onto Christ. So the question is not really if we're looking or if we are going after something. We all are. We all have things that we want, things that we need. And they're not bad things, right? You know, you want to have a good family, a good home, good job, money, you know, just things that will make life just a little bit easier. But the truth is that even Jesus said this, that the Gentiles have need of those same things. If you're pursuing the same thing that the world is pursuing, how are we any different? How are we any different? If he's saying that we ought to be like him, but we are chasing those same things that the world is chasing, how can we ever minister to the world? Especially to some people out there who are richer than anybody in this room. What do you have to offer that person that they don't have? Because they already have all those things that you are pursuing. So we see here that the question is not if you're looking, because everyone is looking for something. The question is, what has your eyes? What are you looking at? When was the last time you allowed the pursuit of knowing God to interrupt your day? When was the last time you woke up with that song in your heart and you said, God, why this specific song? What exactly are you trying to show me this day? When was the last time your pastor preached and you said, Let me go home and actually look into what he said and why he said that. See, this is the heart of someone who wants to pursue, not satisfied with the surface, but like Moses, you are willing to turn and look and say, I must know why. I must know why this bush does not burn. In Hebrews 12:2, Paul says this, looking away onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we are called to look away unto Jesus. That means that as we look at him, we look away from other things. Because if you're looking at two things at the same time, you might need to go see a doctor, right? So we are called to look away unto Jesus. And sometimes it's easy to say, well, yeah, yes, look away from sin. We know that. But what about self? What about those things that aren't bad but are not really beneficial for your walk? So yesterday morning, I was driving somewhere and I prayed a very dangerous prayer. I was like, God, show me those things that don't please you in my life. Just praying, you know, just, hey, just show me, you know, where I'm not right, those things that don't please you. And I didn't think nothing of it. And by the evening time, he was showing me something very specific. And it was like, this is not sin, but this is a little fox that will someday spoil your whole vine if you don't fix it. This is a little something that will grow into something bigger if you don't fix it. And honestly, it wrecked me, because a big part of preaching for me is feeling like I want to preach. But then as he began to show me that, I was like, God, I'm not even worthy to stand in front of your people. And it dawned on me that, first of all, you actually prayed for this. Second of all, this is me loving you and showing you. This is me helping you to actually see that hey, in this area of your life, you need to turn and look at me. You need to look onto me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Because oftentimes we preach to sinners, look at Jesus, look at Jesus, and then we get saved and we stop looking at him. We start looking at self and works and all the things they would do. We start saying, yeah, well, I serve in church and I do all these things, which are good. But those things don't qualify you for Christ, because it's by grace and by grace through faith that we're saved. So Moses looked away at that burning bush, like we ought to look away at Christ. Because if Moses wanted to experience God, well, if we want to experience God like Moses, we must turn away from other things and look at God. And the interesting part about this all is that Moses experienced as much of God as he was willing to experience. Because after miracles, plagues, manna, so many great things, Moses still says, Lord, show me your glory. Moses saw some of the most mind-blowing things that any human being has ever seen. Sat on a mountain, face to face with God, spoke to him, ate with him, fellowship with him, and yet he says, show me your glory. Yet Moses says, Lord, there is more. Yet I must look away from Israel and those things that you have shown me, and I must look at you. See, we can be so blessed by God that we think, well, that's all that God has for me. Well, that's the best that God has for me. All these blessings, all these things. But God is saying this morning, there is more. if you simply look away and keep on looking away, there is more. Because God is already pursuing us. Once again, you don't pursue God first. You respond to him. God is already pursuing us. And for some of here, maybe you've tried doing things your way. Maybe you've tried to look away at the world, look away at your finances, at your job, at your friends, and you're trying to find life there. God is saying this morning, look away from those things and look at me. Look at me. I will give you life. I will change your life. I will fix you. I will heal those broken things. Or maybe you're like some of the elder saints in here, and you've walked with God for years, and you know God, and you've had experiences with God. But like Moses, you can still say, Lord, show me your glory. For there is more. Because if there wasn't more glory, the scriptures would not say that in the last day he would pour out of his spirit on all flesh. There is more. This is not it, saints. Yes, I'm glad you're in church. I'm glad that you serve. I'm glad that you do these things. But there is more if you simply just look away. If you simply allow him to interrupt your day. See, there are people sitting in this room right now because somebody let God interrupt their day, and now they're in church. There are people in this room right now who are saved because somebody let God interrupt their day, and they spoke to you, and they brought you into Christ. So once again, allow God to interrupt your day. Look away. Don't be so caught up in what you're doing that you do not give him any time. We are blessed to live in a nation where we can truly gather and worship like this. This is a picture of grace. Many nations don't have this. Many people pray, hope for something like this. So once again, look away, saints. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at how many times you've failed God. Don't look at your strengths. Don't look at your weaknesses. Don't be like Moses that says, Lord, I'm a stammerer. I can't speak. No, look away. Look away. Look away. He's made you for a reason, for this season. Look away. Look at him. Because there's always more of God for the person that is willing to say, I must. I must look away. I must spend time with him. I must seek his face. I must know why God has called me to do A, B, C, D. So once again, look away, saints. God has more for you. There is more. God is already pursuing you. He is chasing after you. Your job is to simply just respond. Respond to the grace of God. And as you do so, he will show you great and mighty things. Amen? Amen. All heads bowed. We just want to take a moment and just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you just begin to search our hearts this day. Lord, you know the places that we have looked away. You know the places and the things that have caught our attention, Lord. Those things that have our eyes, they might not be bad things, Lord God, but they have taken our heart from you. Father, we look away this morning. We look at you this morning. We choose to look at you. We choose to fix our eyes on you. Because as we see you, Father, we become like you. But it's a choice to respond to the grace of your Son, Jesus. Father, we know that we cannot earn it. We know that pursuing you is not a matter of works, but it's about responding to the grace that you have given us in your Son. So help us, Lord, as we leave this place this morning, to look away at you, to find pockets and times of our day, Lord, to simply spend with you, to not be those that hear the message but don't practice it, Lord. Father, help us to be doers of the word, people who don't look at sports, who don't look at the government, who don't look at family or friends, but we look at you because you are the source and life of all things. God, we can do nothing without you, Lord. This is not us saying that we'll try harder, Lord. But this is us saying that we will simply accept your grace and look at you, knowing that as we look at you, Father, you will make us more like you. Once again, God, we give you all the thanks and all the glory. Amen.
Jesus' name. Amen. It's always a good reminder to us as a body in Christ and brothers and sisters in the Lord to focus our thoughts on what the Lord has for us in eternity and future. I know that there's a lot of things that's going on throughout the world, but just as Pastor Ike just said this morning, we must turn from those things and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the true bread of life. And if we focus on him, he's always going to provide everything that we need according to his riches and glory. Amen. Remember to support the ministry. We do thank those that support in-house and online. We want to thank those that have joined us online for both services. We do appreciate you guys. If you would stand and let's just give the Lord glory and praise one more time before we depart from this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heads bowed. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the reminders that you've given us in our first service and in our second service to just continue to press into you, Lord God, to want to understand and know you more. Father, we thank you for just being sensitive on our hearts and minds from the time we wake up to the time that we go to sleep. And Father God, we will continue to be careful to give you all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. Because we don't know what our day holds. We don't even know if we promised the next day. But we know when you breathe that breath, your breath, into our lungs to wake up and open our eyes and our limbs are functioning the proper way, we know that it's you, Father. We know that it's you that moves and lives within our being. We glorify your name. We thank you so much, Lord God, from the bottom of our hearts. As we leave, Father, we know that you're with us. We ask, Lord, that you will protect us no matter where we're going. In Jesus' name, amen.